We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
All right, folks, what's good? We are back. Another episode, Ain't No Seats podcast. But before we get going, we got to talk about Emprise Bank. You can open an account with Emprise Bank in less than 5 minutes. The savings just start there, though. Emprise is a trusted partner with a variety of products and services to help you achieve your goals. Don't be tethered to a brick building. Start a meaningful relationship with a bank that has your best in mind. There's more options to do banking more now than ever. Who you work with is more important than how close they are to your home. Emprise has digital banking that meets you where you are, on your phone, on your computer, or even your smartwatch. A trusted partner is at your fingertips. An Emprise Bank debit card is good anywhere. You have access to 55,000 fee-free ATMs worldwide through the Allpoint ATM network. You can get the same kind of access to your money as any bank across the country while getting the value of working with a trusted partner in Emprise. When was the last time you went into a bank? Now more than ever, who you're banking with is more important than where you're banking. Emprise Bank has been with us since the beginning at KCSN. Partner Impossible, their member FDIC. Shout out Emprise Bank. But all right, AB, we got to talk Saturday first. We'll talk a little hoops later in this episode, too. Got to get ready for Duke. Big one coming up there. But we got to talk football because, I don't know, I'd love to hear your take on it. But to me, that was the most frustrating game of the season. Like, it felt like we left so much out there. Should have easily, if we play even close to the way we can play, win that game, and to lose that game by 15 points, it's just so frustrating. That was my main takeaways. It was just frustrating. Defense was frustrating. Offense was frustrating. So I don't know. Where are you at?
Yeah, kind of the same boat. It felt like a game we should win just kind of the whole time. Like, I didn't feel KU was overmatched. I didn't feel like, you know, they were out-talented or anything. It just kind of came down to a handful of stupid mistakes, which is – stupid as it sounds, we're kind of getting used to that, aren't we? I mean, it's happened in a handful of games, and if there was anything negative to say about this season, that's probably it. But yeah, I mean, especially with the past as KU football fans, like, there aren't many games where you feel like you should win and you don't. This was one of them to add to that list. And, you know, but again, and we've all talked about this for the last few weeks and in group chats or whatever, but once we got to six wins, like, there's really no difference, but you'd like to win as many games as possible.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, I mean, you sit there and you watch a game you want to win, and you certainly don't want to lose. Like, if Texas Tech would have just come out and been an absolute juggernaut, that's one thing. But, like, that team is not better than us. They're certainly not 15 points better than us. And to see, I mean, our defense just missing tackles, offense making just poor decisions, poor clock management, poor everything at times. It just sucked. Those are the most frustrating ways to lose football games. And I guess I want to start with kind of the beginning, and it seems to be a running theme. And it's like, you said it, we've got six wins. So now really the most important game on my schedule now is let's win the bowl game. Like, that would be a thrill to win a bowl game. But what will absolutely suck is if we reach that bowl game and just are down 14-0, 21-0, just because of a bad start. And I know it wasn't that bad, but once again, it just felt like we came out flat, came out not totally ready against them. We're down 17-7 at the end of the first quarter. It's like, I don't know what – I don't – that it shocks me that a Lance coach team, that's kind of been its biggest fault, would you say, is just how slow – I mean, you think back to Baylor, you think back to this game, you think back to – God, what else?
I mean, all at Westpaw, Houston.
Yeah, like, yeah.
We were down 14-0 in the first two games.
Right. We won some of them. But, yeah, I mean, that –
TCU even, you could argue.
It will be so frustrating if we get to a bowl game and we do that because it's – I just want to see this team. We kind of saw it against Oklahoma State, but they were banged up. I want to see this team give a good full four quarters of football, and it just doesn't feel like we get that from them. So, I don't know. How big of a concern of that is it to you, and how scared are you that that's going to happen come bowl game time?
It's to me, it's more like going forward into future seasons. It kind of feels like it's a trend that we can go off of. It's not like it's happened twice and every other game we're fine. It's almost every game we start down. Like, I'd love to see how many games we've started with a lead. I don't know off the top of my head, but my concern would be next year when there's legitimate expectations going into the year where we might even be preseason top 25. The concern would be that carrying over, and then when games start to mean more, if we have a game where we could put ourselves in a good spot to make a Big 12 championship, and next year, 2 years from now, but we get down 14-0 on the road to a team that we shouldn't be losing to. That's kind of where it scares me more, because this season, no matter what happens the next three games, we're going to look back on it as like the most fun we've had since 07-08.
But it is fun to know that expectations are there, and it's like, I think I've joked about it, like, it kind of, when we got good early in the year, it was kind of like, whoa, now I actually like have to deeply care about this football game on Saturday, whereas you were just used to, hey, compete and we're happy. But it's nice to be frustrated about things like that. So I don't know, where do you think the biggest fault was Saturday? If you were going to pinpoint the reason we lost, I know Bean got a lot of heat for his decision making, and I mean, I was frustrated. He just had two really bad passes, but he also shows flashes of just being an absolute star. Like some of the throws he had, that throw to Skinner in the corner, he's so talented, and I think that's why his mistakes are so frustrating, is because he is so talented that you can see how good he could be. But I don't know. The defense was frustrating too. So, like, if you're pinpointing an area where you were like, man, if we just clean that up, we win this game, where are you looking at?
Special teams and clock management. I know that's crazy, and it was a 15-point game, but you missed two kicks. The end of the half was 2014 KU Jayhawks. Like,
you can't have it.
I want to look it up to see exactly what happened, but the timeout usage was weird. They had the first down or the catch on the sideline or whatever where the clock kept running, and they just didn't realize it. Ends up being an interception. Texas Tech goes down, gets points right before half. So you go in, it looks like you have a chance to tie it or take the lead going into half, and you get the ball coming out as well to down by six when I'd love to see the chance of that happening, like when we took over possession going into the final minute of the half. And it's so 6 points on the field goals and then that exchange right there. I know it's not the same game, but it probably changes a lot. Like, if you go into the half tied with the ball, you have, and I do feel like that sucked momentum right out of KU.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had just come back. They were down 21-7, right?
Yeah.
And then they came back and they were down three. They had a chance to tie it, take the lead, whatever. Put yourself in a really good chance to win going into the second half. All that happens, feels like it's just very draining. Tech scores. And then from then on, it was just, I mean, we had chances, but.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like that interception by Bean, it was like he almost threw it with the thought of, whatever, the half's over. And that was not the case, especially with how our defense had played. Like, they were one big play away from being in field goal range. That's exactly what happened. So that's right there where it's like you say, you know, Bean's been great as a backup. He's been great stepping in for Jalen. But those are the things where it's like Jalen Daniels didn't do things like that. He's so much smarter of a quarterback, I think. And then we can talk about it, but the fumble by Bean. And I know it's hard to get mad at a guy. He gets blown up blindside, but man, he stood there for a long time. Mm-hmm. You got to know something's coming. You got to have a little bit of pocket presence there. That was so.
Or just have a peripheral vision. Like he was kind of, I know he was looking downfield, but he was semi-facing where the pressure was coming from. Like he knew enough to keep backing up and backing up like he was. But yeah, that was a gut punch. I really thought they were going to go down and score.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating. And even so, not to put it all on Bean, and I'll put some of this on obviously the defense too, because, and I don't know, you could correct me if I'm wrong. Feels like the defense has had a couple spots this year where we really, really needed a stop, where it was like, if the defense gets a stop here, we can go win this game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they've come up with that stop yet. I mean, even Westfall, that defense kind of melted down to let them back into it, force that game to go to overtime. So I don't know. Like, that's another big concern, and I know that defense is still probably another year away from being better than they are. There's still a lot of newcomers on that team. But, like, I want to see this defense before the season's over get one just huge stop where – it's a statement stop, and it puts the ball back in the hands of our offense to go make that game-winning drive. Like, it just feels like the Baylor game, this game, we had that chance, and they just trot right down the field and score pretty easily, just as they did the other night. So that's where I was really frustrated, is it feels like good teams get a stop there. But mm-hmm. I don't know.
I can't remember a time they've done it. And like at the end of a game where it was close. Yeah. I mean, they were in Houston and Westfall, they went on those huge runs where they're like a 35-7 run. Those stops, they're big, but they don't seem as big with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. TCU is another example where they just kept on scoring after, you know, the offense kept fighting back to get into it. So it is tough. It's definitely a concern. That's just kind of the Big 12. The majority of the last decade has just been, can you outscore another team? And, I guess K-State's gone against that with playing defensive football, but most of the time you're going to have to score 40, 45 points to win a game in this conference. And
this stat was a little concerning. Texas Tech came into the game eighth in the conference in rushing offense, averaging 143 yards per game. They rushed for 264. Ugh. Not great. Not great. And like, that's what was just so frustrating. We gave up 15.4 yards per pass completion. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, it's hard because we keep saying it. Whatever. We won six games. I don't want to sit here and just say nothing matters. But really, it doesn't matter that much. But I'm kind of with you where you're like, but these little concerns like clock management and digging yourselves a hole early in the year or early in the game, is that going to be a theme next year when we want to go win eight, nine games next year, seven games? I don't know. That's an interesting topic too, is what will the expectations be next year? But it's just, the clock management, not getting blown up by offenses that aren't good offenses, at least running wise. So I don't know. I'm not confident that we get another win in the next 2 weeks. I think we're 7-point dogs against Texas. I don't know. Where do you stand confident-wise on this team getting another win?
So that line's jumped to 9 last time I saw, which I kind of thought it'd be double digits. I was surprised when it came out at 7. But I think we have a better chance of beating Texas than K-State. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, viewers looked awful last night, and Bean was able to tear up the TCU defense. Like, I know teams change, whatever, but, I mean, they put up 3 points on offense, Texas did.
Yeah.
It's just so up and down.
That was insane. We talk about gambling traps where it's like, why was Texas 7-point favorites in that game? And it felt like a trap, but turned out that was just bad.
Yeah.
That was a bad line. That was a bad line, and I'm mad I didn't take it.
That mindset always cancels out for me when it involves Texas, though. Remember the Oklahoma State game like a month ago? They were 7.5-point favorites on the road there and lost outright in regulation. Yeah. Like, it just, Texas always gets overvalued, which is kind of why I think I like KU going into Saturday. First of all, ice cold day in Lawrence. Ice cold. Texas boys, they've given up. They can't, they're not involved in the Big 12 title picture anymore. They're way out of the playoff picture. 8-4, 6-6, 7-5, like we've been saying. It's all the same. So I think KU comes out firing. The only negative downside, we've beaten them twice in the last 6-7 years. So
yeah,
it's, I don't.
I mean, if these guys can't get up for this game to not, I mean, the amount of. They got roasted for losing to us last year. And I know we're better this year. It wouldn't be as embarrassing of a loss. But, like, those guys are just – if they can't get up for this game to try and win, then they're just losers. They're just flat-out losers. So I think Texas will come to play. I'll be honest. I texted this in the group chat. I'm desperately ready to see Jalen Daniels back on the field again. I don't know if he's coming. Sounds like he's been practicing. He's got pads on. Feels like we're close, but who knows? It could just be a big front. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But, man, I just kind of being, as we've said, he's electric. I actually saw someone tweet this at me, and I wish I could remember who they were so I could give them credit because it was a really good comparison. They said Jason Bean's kind of like the David McCormick of KU basketball, where it's like David McCormick showed flashes where you're like, man, this guy, all Big 12, all American. He's got that level of talent. And then he'll turn around and have like a three-play stretch where you're like, this man is the worst player in the entire country. Like, that was the David McCormick experience. And that's kind of the Jason Bean experience. Like, Jason Bean, that scramble and throw to Skinner in the corner, you're like, oh, my God, this guy is so talented. He's so good. And then he throws the pick or, like, the pick at the end of the first half, the fumble. It's like, what are we doing? So – it's a good comparison, man, and I love watching Jason Bean. He's absolutely electric, but I just miss Jalen Daniels. I'm
Is
ready
okay?
to see Jalen Daniels.
Like, are we in a Vasco or JD?
I don't
conversation?
Know. I haven't.
I think Bean had to have gotten hurt at the end of that game. Like, there's no way they'd have just trotted Vasco out or Vasco. Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they Even wouldn't have just Vasco. Trotted him out. The game wasn't over. It was they're down 15 with 4 minutes to go, and they were moving the ball. So I assume he got banged up on that sack. But, yeah, I don't know what to think. I have many thoughts on JD. First of all, if he ends up missing the whole season, everyone on KU Twitter owes that guy an apology for saying that he was out for the year.
Has he tweeted anything since then?
I haven't even looked.
Because it will be – it would honestly be such a power move to say stay completely silent and then the second the season ends just hop in with like a gif. With being like, told you so, or something. Like, I would respect the hell out of that move.
The Forrest Gump wave, where he's just...
yes.
Hello. But I don't know. I thought JD was close to playing, like, the last three or four games, and there was a bye week mixed into that. Like, when he started warming up against Baylor in full uniform, okay, is he actually going to play? Then they had the week off, and I thought for sure he would play against Oklahoma State and didn't. So I don't know. Didn't they say a month ago he was able to play in case of emergency?
Maybe,
like they're playing it super slow unless they absolutely need him, which may be the case on Saturday.
Yeah, and which I guess that's true. Maybe it is time. But to me, it's like Jalen Daniels deserves to play in our bowl game. And maybe the plan is to, hey, let's keep resting him because, like we've said, these next two games don't matter much. Let's keep resting him and let him go out and play the bowl game. But to me, that's kind of crazy. I would hope you'd want to see him play a game or two before you just throw him into a bowl game in a month. So I got to think if we don't see him this weekend, I don't know. I guess you could play him against K-State and then play him in the bowl game. But would you agree that if we don't see him in the next 2 weeks, he's probably not playing in the bowl game?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that'd be a whole nother month for him to prep. But at that point, what's the
weird.
Real point of it? Like, are you going to really remember winning the Cheez-It Bowl or the Armed Forces Bowl or whatever? Like, I mean, for us, obviously, it's a big deal, but
we might remember this forever.
Do you know any of the rules behind, like, medical red shirts and stuff? Like, is there any chance at all he could get one of those if he doesn't come back?
No, I don't know that enough. I feel like
he played 5.5 games. I feel like that's a little too much for that to even be a possibility.
I thought it was like 4 games or something. I don't know. That could be. Is that the transfer rule where as long as you
like the transfer, like standard red shirt? But I don't know. It's just a mystery.
Yeah, it is. And Lance and them are so good about hiding it. I really have no clue what their plan is for him, but I just feel like Jalen Daniels is the one that lit this team. He kind of got it going, and I would hate for him to just never be a part of, you know, one. We say these next two games don't matter, but we have a chance to go in and spoil K-State's season. So if you're a true rivalry and you're a football team that still has a bowl game coming up, but you're motivated and you want to go get a program just changing win, that's when you go get. You go win in Manhattan when they have a chance to go to the Big 12 title game, a chance to go play in like the Sugar Bowl. Like, we could take all that away from K-State if we go on a play. And so I certainly do not hope that the staff is kind of mail. And I don't think they are. They're not mailing in the season, but if Jalen can play, I want him to play, because
look, if they didn't mail it in last year and they burned a year of eligibility for JD for a team that was 1-8, 1-9 going into that Texas game, they're not going to do it this year when they're actually competitive.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So hopefully, I mean, I'm sure Jalen's just still not ready, and maybe he will be by next Saturday. And if not, then hopefully by K-State game, because, man, that would be more, obviously, more fun than a bowl game win, right?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah. So that would be good, which, by the way, not to get on a K-State tangent, but like, Will Howard has to start
a quarterback. So much better than Adrian Martinez.
And like, Adrian Martinez, I kind of think people were right about him. And I know K-State fans don't want to believe that, but man, Will Howard's, he's good. And it's just like, feels like they play a lot better when he's in the game.
Yeah. I was watching with a friend last night who's a K-State fan. And so I like, when Adrian Martinez got hurt, I think it was tied and they were about to punt or something. It's like, dude, just go live bet K-State. Like, we both know that Will Howard's better.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, that's the best value you're going to get. So, and he did.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with that. If I don't know how severe was Martinez's injury even that bad, or did they truly just stick with Will Howard?
I don't know. I had the sound on for KU, so I wasn't really listening to commentary, but
I don't know. It's pretty funny. Adrian Martinez was just such a hot topic in the offseason. Like, was it Nebraska or was it Martinez? And both. I think it was just a mixture of both. I think it was a mixture of both. And Will Howard, I mean, I hope they play Adrian Martinez the rest of the way, because
our chances better against them or against him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You got anything else on football?
No, not really. Yeah. Just kind of bummed. Yeah.
Me neither. It was just a frustrating game. One of those, you, as a fan, you just move on, forget about it. Don't get too hung up on it. But, man, it sucked, because we could have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want one big time, and I said it before we beat Oklahoma State, I want one big time moment left, which getting a bowl game was that moment. So I guess I got what I wanted, but I would love one more win, but whatever, getting greedy at that point. So, all right, we're going to transition here, take a quick break, and then get right back in to talk some KU hoops.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, well, believe it or not, AB, it is also basketball season. People forget that. The Hawks are a preseason top five team. They just won the national title, and they have a big game coming up against the Duke Coach K-less Blue Devils on Tuesday, which is exciting. I have no idea what to expect. It's going to be a very – when you have young – we're kind of young, but when you just have kind of a new team these games are really telling. These are the games where I think you learn a lot about your team early in the year. So, like, Grady Dick looks great. Ernest Uday, who I've said, like, I'm falling in love with that guy. He just fits the mold of a guy that's going to be so good under Bill Self. Catches lobs. Just so fun to watch. But, like, for those guys, I think this is a huge test for them because Duke, insanely talented. I think they have two of the top three recruits in the country. Mm-hmm. Two just humongous. I mean, they're tall, they're long, they're athletic. And I would say the biggest question mark for this KU team is, do we have a starting center? Do we have a guy that if you're playing against a team with a good center, who's going up against him? So far, it's been KJ, and I know you're a KJ stan. You predicted him starting at the five, but can I get you to at least say for this team to be good and this team to have a chance to make back-to-back Final Fours, Ernest probably has to step into that five spot.
Yeah. KJ is not a national champion five. Like, no, there's no way we can spin it. He can be a role player. He can absolutely get some good minutes and log some quality playing time, but
you know, when I say, can we picture it? You know, we last year said we can picture Remy Martin holding that trophy next to Bill Self. I want you to picture this. National championship game, Jim Nance calling his last game ever. Is that this year or next year? Either way,
sure.
Jim Nance calling his last game ever, and KJ Adams is tipping the ball for the Kansas Jayhawks in the national championship. That's just not happening. That my brain can't even fathom it. It just won't happen. And so we predicted the visualization activity we did last year. It worked out. That's a lot of words. Worked out. And I will say, I would like to see Norm or Bill, obviously Bill's coaching from behind the scenes. I'd like to see Ernest get the start on Tuesday. Let him go out there, fellow McDonald's All-American with these guys that he's going up against. Let him go up, play against them, and let's see how it goes. I think this is going to be the biggest test for him early on. And if he can survive it, I think it's going to be huge for his confidence moving forward and put us all in a little better spot expectation-wise for this team if we know that our starting center is a McDonald's All-American that could actually have an impact in game. So that's what I'm hoping for, but I don't know. You think he gets the start?
I'm kind of with you. I hadn't really thought about it that way until you just brought it up like that, but yeah, I mean, you might have, because at the end of the day, can't speak. The game doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, it's going to be awesome if we win. If we lose, it'll suck for 10 minutes, and then we'll be like, okay, it's November 15th. Doesn't really matter a whole lot. And especially without Bill, like, the team's not going to be close to complete until February, early March. So you might as well just try stuff, see if it works. I don't know if they will, just because it hasn't not worked so far. But I'd be curious, not really at the starting lineup, but like minute distribution, if it's Uday the whole like majority of the time and he's playing starter minutes, just wasn't jumping tip, then I think we'll have a pretty good idea of it going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just taking a look at Duke, and I think Duke's pretty banged up. Do you know have they announced who's playing for sure? I think Derek Lively, he's one of I think he might be the number one player in the country. I think he was back for their last game, if I'm correct. Am I right?
Yeah, he only played like 15 minutes, I think it was.
So you got to think he's playing.
Yeah, Derek Whitehead, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And then, or no, he's the other guy.
Well, the other center is Kyle Flipowski, which, I mean, can you find a more Duke-looking guy? And I know this joke gets overrun, but let me grab my iPad here just to give you a little peek at Kyle
Flipowski.
He looks like a skinny version of who is that idiot center that won it for he was on Duke when they beat Butler. Zubac?
Oh, Brian Zubac. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting vibes
from that guy. Well, this guy was like a top three player in the country high school wise, cool. So he's probably really good, and we're gonna regret that. Making fun of him, but yeah. Then Derek Whitehead's a freshman forward. I think he's been injured as well. Did he play in the last game?
No, it says his injury status is still up in the air. He's recovering from a fractured right foot. So I don't know when that happened.
You don't rush back from.
Yeah. Just play, make it a scrimmage. I was just gonna say, make it a scrimmage. We don't have our coach. They're banged up. Just have some fun.
All I know is this game doesn't count if we lose. If we win, it certainly does. But if we lose, it doesn't count because Will didn't coach.
Here's the thing, and I've called you out on this before. KU fans love doing that. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Last year, Kentucky was the biggest game at Allen Fieldhouse in a decade. We lost, and all I saw on Twitter after the game was, non-conference game, doesn't really mean anything. We know we're going to be fired up on Tuesday night if we win, and we're going to be pissed off if we lose. But in the grand scheme of things, like, all it really is a tournament resume builder, which I don't even know how much they look at November games for that anymore.
So I went live on Spaces with a few guys after that, the game Thursday night. And I said this, and I'd love to get your take. Mm-hmm. I think tomorrow night could really kind of set the tone, or Tuesday night could really set the tone for how I feel about John Shire for the next 20 years. Like if we somehow go in and whip their ass, like, are we going to hate John Shire? And I know, they could turn around and beat us in the Final Four and that could all change. But, like, I think this could really set the tone for how much we hate Duke and John Shire over the next 20 years. Now, if he's a total squid like Coach K and does really annoying, like, I could see them winning in a close game and he does, like, a super irritating celebration that drives me crazy and I hold a grudge against him forever. Or we could just whoop him and it'll be like, oh, John Shire, that cute new coach at Duke, like he's adorable, but Bill Self's gonna just kill him until Bill Self retires. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My only worry with that is we did the same thing with Hubert Davis last year, and I know we hate Duke more, but mid-January we kept laughing and we were making jokes that what if Bill Self just retired and we hired Jeremy Case? Like they end up going to national championship and blowing the biggest lead in that game's history. So it can change quickly, but I don't think I disagree with the personal feelings towards Shire.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's like, I want, like, it's just in my, literally since kindergarten, I've just known to hate Duke. And I think early as a kid, it wasn't about the Coach K. It was just that Duke was always good. KU was always good. And you just hated Duke. You were supposed to hate Duke. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, man, I don't feel hatred towards this team yet. I really don't. And so it's going to be interesting to see how I feel about Shire come Tuesday night. It'll probably really hang on how the game goes, but I don't hate him yet. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of getting to me because it's more fun in life to just hate Duke.
Did you not hate him as a player? Like he wasn't JJ Redick, but he kind of just gave off the same annoying vibe. He won a championship.
I really did not like him I was very mad when that team won the title because that was the 2010 team where we should have, lose to Northern Iowa. And that Duke team was not a good Duke team. Like out of all the teams that Duke could have won the title, and I get that's probably how people felt about our team that just won this title, but that team was not good. And I remember being so salty that Gordon Hayward's shot didn't go in because Butler was that was perfect scenario for us to have Butler go beat Duke. Nobody talks about the KU meltdown ever again because Butler beat Duke. And I know people don't, Northern Iowa still gets talked about, but like to have us choke the way we did and then have Duke win it and John Shire, as I said, there's going to be like an irritating celebration that he's going to do. I don't know if it's an over enthusiastic hug with Kyle Flipowski or maybe an aggressive high five with an assistant coach. John Shire is probably going to do something that just irritates the hell out of us. So we'll see. But I don't know. I love that he is hateable. I think he has potential to be hateable, but I kind of respect him. The dude stepped in, was an assistant coach for like 7 years and took over the job. Like that's a power move.
Mm-hmm.
So
you want to take a break? Get one more break in, then we'll come back and take picks.
Let's do it.
All right. I got sidetracked there. I kind of panicked and just took it. All right. Do you want me to give you the line now, or do you want to be surprised live?
Let's go. I'll try and guess it.
Okay. I like that. Right. You going to lead into it?
Yep. Let's go.
All right. We're going to do picks. Let's do some gambling picks. Shout out DraftKings as always. But AB, I don't know this line yet. I'll be honest. I have not looked. So I honestly hope I don't nail this prediction perfectly. I don't think I will. I think I've heard rumblings, so I maybe did kind of cheat. I think I did hear rumblings of KU minus one, but that was, I think, before an official line. I'm going to make a prediction of KU minus 2.5 now.
So I haven't seen an official line. Usually those don't come out till like the day of or the day before. So we'll probably see that tomorrow night. I'm on Torvik right now because it's free. Shouts to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have Duke as a 3-point favorite.
Wow.
So, and I think
I don't think that's what the line's going to show. I don't know.
Maybe... I'm torn. Like they usually do. They're usually pretty close to like Torvik, KenPom, things like that. But do you think Bill Self not coaching and Duke having like the recruiting class, the big freshman, and the brand is bigger than KU's for basketball, I'd say?
Yeah.
Is it going to be publicly bet and be more like minus 4.5 for Duke? Like, do you think it could grow just based off of, oh, Self's out, this guy, you know, they get three of the top four recruits. It's Duke at the end of the day.
I don't know. And it's just, I really expected us to be favorites because of the injury issues that Duke's battling. And I just think, I don't know. We'll see. I was very impressed with how we looked Thursday night. I think it was the most excited I've been about this team after watching us because I think we have a shot to be better offensively than I maybe thought.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, Duke's obviously ultra talented. So you could be right. Just the fact they've starting. I mean, that's going to be the storyline. It's going to be Shire. And it's going to be the fact that they have two top three high school, maybe top two. I don't even know. It depends on which site. But, like, that's going to be the story is they're loaded with freshman talent. Yeah, we're the defending champs. But, you know, we don't have, like, a – Jalen Wilson's the face of our program. But Jalen Wilson's not, like, a – you know, he wasn't an All-American last year. He wasn't even first-team All-Big 12. So he's not like it's – not like it's Drew Timmy returning to college or anything like that. So – I think Duke is the hot, you know, topic, the team that people are going to be talking about more. So could see them being favored. And you just look at talent. Yeah, Duke seems to be the clear favorite. But to me, I think it starts with, like, their main returner, the guy that, I mean, Jeremy Roach, who was huge in their tournament run last year. I'm kind of excited to see what DeJuan, like if DeJuan can take him out of the game and you've now that's your most experienced guy on the court. If DeJuan takes him out of his element, gets him out of the game. Now you're hoping that a bunch of freshmen can kind of lead you over a team that is still, we're still pretty good. We're top five. Like we're a good team. So I don't know. I think that doesn't bode well for Duke is that our best defenders going up against the guy that I think probably needs to be their most steady guy early in this season while their freshmen get their feet wet. But I don't know. So what do you think? I mean, what do you think of the line? What's your confidence level? Where would you be betting on?
I don't know. I think I'd lean Duke, but you kind of like talked me out of it a little bit. I just think the length is going to be an issue. Like we've been saying for months, the biggest hole is the bigs. And like, it could be a breakout game for Uday and Jalen could, you know, like Svi did back in 2018, just play bigger than he actually is and contain. But I don't know. It terrifies me to no extent that they're just going to have the number one recruit, 7-1, I think I saw earlier. And he's super long. Yeah. And then I think we're going to have to play like very, very well to have a chance to win.
Yeah. The more you say it, the more it's like, I'm trying to picture how we're going to get our points. Like you think about, Jalen's kind of fallen in love with the jump shot early in the year, which you don't want to see, but he's making them. So obviously we're going to have to hit jumpers. Jalen's going to have to hit. Grady Dick's going to obviously have to hit, which I'm confident he will. But yeah, it's like McCollar hasn't really, you know, he hasn't really been there offensively yet much. And then you picture the way Jalen gets a lot of buckets is going inside.
Right.
You got two big centers in there swatting things out of there. That's a little concerning. Same with DeJuan. Pretty much the only way DeJuan scores is around the rim and like floaters and stuff. And I don't know. So it is, unless we shoot lights out. Yeah, I guess you've slowly shifted me to the other side. Yeah.
Are we?
I just don't know anything about them other than they're long. I don't know how their offense is.
It may just turn into a game like 2018 where they're so much longer and athletic and bigger than KU is that they try and zone up on defense, because, you know, if they put a 7-1 dude on Jalen Wilson, I have a feeling Jalen's going to be able to drive around and, you know, either draw other dudes or get fouled or whatever. But are we good enough at shooting the ball if they do go zone to break it? Like, yeah, I like Grady's shot a lot, but like then it's like, okay, Jalen, we've seen it for years. He's pretty inconsistent for shooting the ball. DeJuan's got no shot. I mean, he hit a couple in the tournament that were big, but we're not going to rely on him to hit two threes a game. Yeah. And then McCullough hasn't gotten anything going. So it's like,
I think
they will go zone. And if we can shoot out of it, then I'll be even more confident in KU than I already am. But I just don't know how that's going to show through.
That's the scary part, is like you look at our bench too, and like Bobby Pettiford has been the clear, like he's the number one guy off the bench. We talked Bobby and Joe early in the year. I love Joe, but Bobby's clearly the face
of KU basketball.
That was so funny for people that did not see on all of ESPN's like promo of this game. They're showing Joe Yesufu as like the face of Kansas. Jalen's right. Like, so what the funny. Hell is this? But
Jalen got time in the commercial though. They showed,
he did get,
they like, showed the three coaches and then it was Jalen Wilson as the fourth. Cause
yeah. Wait, Bill's did they like, show Norm or Bill?
They didn't show either of them. They just showed Jalen instead. So they showed, Izzo, Calipari, Shire, and then Jalen when they were talking about Hall of Fame coaches. And then they like got it in a transition to
that's
players or talent or champions or whatever.
Yeah, that's good. Jalen's a face. That's why he came back, is to be that guy. So I'm happy for him there. But yeah, I mean, Bobby Pettiford's clearly been the guy. He'll be the backup player. He'll be first off the bench. But the problem with him is he doesn't add an element of like scoring. And to me, that's what this team desperately needs off the bench, is a scorer, is a zone buster. And honestly, and like that's what sucks, Joe Yesufu could be that guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm never like, I feel like I'm begging Joe Yesufu to be good. And I want it so badly because he's so lovable. And he's just, he tries hard. He has a good attitude. But he just, I mean, he made some shots, but he just doesn't make a lot of shots. And for a guy that's supposed to come in and be a scorer, he hasn't done it. And so, but the thing that sucks is he's the guy, if you bring in a guy off the bench that could come in and hit some shots, I just don't know if he will be the one that we bring in. Cause I think Bobby has clearly been the best guard off the bench. And frankly, Bobby, I mean, I think you're going to see, it's going to be hard to take Bobby off the floor at times, which is a little concerning. Cause then you're rolling with Bobby and DeJuan together. And I don't know how that's going to go, but
we had the same concern last year though, where we would just go in lulls where Ochai was out and the offense was just stagnant. We'd go 5 minutes without making a shot.
Yeah.
And that team won a championship.
But okay, so hear me out on this lineup. DeJuan Harris, Bobby Pettiford, Kevin McCuller. Let's be fair and say Jalen Wilson, and then either KJ Adams or Ernest Udeh. Like, I'm saying if Grady Dick's out of the game and Bobby Pettiford's in for him, that is a scary, bad offensive lineup. I think.
Yeah, but it's also just as scary good of a defensive lineup. So this team's going to drive me nuts. I just know it. There are going to be some games they score 95 points, and there are going to be some games they win 61-58. Like,
And that's what's exciting, is I think they're going to be in every game. Like, their defense is going to be too good to, like, not have a shot. Like, and I don't know, we could be wrong. The athleticism and stuff of Duke could show to prove that wrong. But I don't know. I think DeJuan and McCullough, you got DeJuan and McCullough. Like the havoc those dudes wreaked early in that game Thursday night, just insane. Their hands are so quick. So defensively, we're going to be good. I don't think we're going to be 2020 good, but I think it's going to be a top three Bill Self defensive team. Problem is they lack that five. It goes back to what we said at the beginning. who's blocking shots, who's protecting the rim. It's not going to be KJ, so it's got to be Ernest, because it certainly doesn't seem like it's going to be Clements, which is kind of a shock to think that he's not even getting minutes. But we'll see.
I was going to ask if you had a pick on the total. They're projecting Torvik's projecting 73-70 Duke, so that's 143.
I'm a big bet the under guy in the Champions Classic, but I think that was a horrible pick last year. I think the Hawks scored 87 last year.
It's been bad. It's either been like it goes over by 30 points or it stays under by like 30 points. The Kentucky game, COVID year, remember that?
It's
the worst basketball game I've ever seen.
Yeah. I would still bet the under on this game for the reasons you said. They're long. We're going to struggle to score, but they're young and we're good defensively. So I think we're going to give them problems. Like if there's a similar podcast, the Ain't No Seats podcast, that's Duke. I think they're saying, man, yeah, we're talented, but Dwan Harris won a national championship. He's a great defender. Kevin McCullough was great at Texas Tech. He's there now. Like, we are scary defensively, especially for a team that's young. And like I said, their most experienced guy, that's kind of the floor general, I think is going to be taken out by Dewan. Dewan's going to be all over Jeremy Roach 40 feet all game, I would imagine, or right up there. So I think that's a scary thing for them, is they've got to deal with our defense. So I just love it under. I think my bet would be something like a 67-62 type game. But I don't know. So I'd bet under, and I kind of think the Hawks get it done. I don't know why. I think we were kind of too low on them, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to predict anything. And after Tuesday, we will talk, and I think we will fire some takes that will be – we will overreact, right? We always do.
One way or another, yeah.
Yeah.
We're either going to be national champs or second-round exit based on a November 15th ball game.
Yeah, I mean, you think back to 2020 against Duke. We had like how many turn? We had like a historically bad game. Yeah, we had like 20-some turnovers. I don't even know, maybe more. And so that storyline was – I remember Jeff Goodman picked us to win the title at the beginning of the year, and after that game he goes, I was so wrong about Kansas. This team is not winning the national title. Turns out we would have. So Goodman – overreacted more than any of us, but I don't blame him, really. We look terrible.
Aaron Kraft over Andrew Wiggins.
People forget.
I'll take Duke in the over, just to get it on the record. I don't think I've ever gotten a total right in the Champions Classic. Like I said, last year there were 17 total points in the whole game. Let's take the under. They struggle early. And then it's 47-42 at halftime and just dead. I'll take Duke in the over. I hate taking Duke. It makes me want to throw up. But it's like a picture thing. Is Norm Roberts beating Duke?
Yeah. And it – God, you're right. And it's like – it's such a Duke move to have things go so well in the first week, where it's like John Shire steps right in. He's the new guy at Duke. And it's like they could blow us out and everyone's going to be all over Shire. It's like they'll become national title like contenders right off the bat because of this game. Like, they've done that multiple times.
Ugh. I got that. That will make you hate Shire. Mm-hmm. Back to your point from earlier that this game is going to be a deciding factor. If Duke wins pretty convincingly and jumps to number one in the country, like, there's going to be a lot of Duke talk for the next few months, and that's going to be a perfect start to hating him.
Yep. That's right. We figured it out. That's exactly, because, yeah, that's how college basketball goes. So I can't really see another scenario where, I don't know, I guess if Norm leads us. And I said this on the Spaces thing too. Like, I haven't really noticed Norm being out or Self being out. Norm obviously has worked with him forever. I notice it in little ways. When guys make a mistake, he gives them a little more leeway, lets them stay on the court a little longer. You don't see as many just immediate timeouts after a bad defensive breakdown where Bill just calls the timeout just to yell at a guy longer. You haven't noticed those things quite as much with Norm, but I do think this game is where you might see lack of Bill Sell. Like, I kind of hope to see that. Like, wouldn't it be kind of – it would be interesting to just get over with this game and be like, damn, Bill Self's so good, because we'll notice little things that maybe Norm doesn't do. Mm-hmm. Like out-of-bounds timeout, like out-of-timeout plays, things like that. It'll be interesting to see if it's Bill's brain or if it's the coaching staff's just overall brain. And it's probably – it's a huge mix of both, but – I don't know. Do you think we'll feel that Bill's not on the sidelines Tuesday?
I don't think so. I normally don't notice the coach on the sideline during the game. Now, if there's not as much in basketball, because you can't really question a play call. I like diving deep into basketball X's and O's sometimes, but like, I'm not the kind of guy that can watch a play and be like, oh, they messed that up right there. That Bill would notice me pissed off about. And then I'd be pissed at the play call. It's not like football. So I don't think I'll notice it in the time, unless they show a close-up of Norm. But it's got to have some sort of an effect.
Right? Oh, and it's going to be a huge storyline. They're going to talk about it all game. It'll be – I'm curious to see if we feel the impact or not. And like I joked, if we lose, it's because Bill didn't coach. If we win, this game matters more than anything ever. So that's where I'm at. It's going to be fun. I love this game. I just love – I miss – that's another thing I wanted to ask. Do you like this being the third game of the year, or do you prefer opening night?
Opening night. Opening night.
Even though we probably look a lot worse opening night?
Yeah, so would Duke, though. Yeah. Especially this year, Shire's first game ever. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a tradition to me. And it was the best. They only had a couple of years where it was like this, but they'd have the 24-hour basketball marathon that would start – at 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. Monday night, and it would lead into the Champions Classic. Yep. Just perfect start to the season. There's nothing better than that. I miss it dearly. I wish they'd bring it back, but it doesn't feel the same. Like, I told you this off the air. I haven't really watched much of the first two games. It's just like, they just won a championship. I can't get excited to play North Dakota State. Like, I just can't. But for Duke, it kind of feels like the kickoff to the season, like Christmas Day is to the NBA. If you're paying attention to the NBA right now, I'm sorry, you got some problems. But like, that's kind of how I see the Champions Classic every year. Once that happens, bang, then we lead right into Thanksgiving tournaments, and before you know it, it's conference season.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. It is a thrill to have it be the opening night and just feel – it's like a mini Final Four, where it's like you love the Final Four partly because your team's playing in the Final Four, but you love it because – you're all that gets talked about that night. Your program that you love hearing about is the storyline, and the Champions Classic when it's opening night's the same way. It's like that's all anyone in college basketball is paying attention to. And maybe that'll still be the case Tuesday night, but I don't know. It just feels different. And I'm sure we'll get back to it maybe with next year not being not having the election or whatever issue that we had this year. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm excited either way. Like I said, we can speculate, we can predict, we can make all have all these conversations about this KU team. Tuesday night's where I think you really start to learn where we're going to struggle, where we can improve, where we're good at. I think it'll tell us a lot for at least a few months. And then come February, March, this game will mean absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And it'll just be a good way to see where we're at currently. So
be a good quad one win.
There we go. Ramp up those quad one wins. Let's go get another one seed. That's what Bill Self does. So
before we get off here, I do want to sprinkle one thing. Michigan State on the money line on Tuesday, early game. September,
they October. They did look 8th. Good against Gonzaga.
Outside.
Is Shibwe playing?
I don't know. But I didn't even know he was hurt, to be honest.
He's had a knee injury. I'm sure he'll play, but
it's just straight vibes. One crazy thing: both games on Torvik are projected 73-70. That's all I really got.
So I got to be honest with you. I completely disagree. I think Kentucky rolls Michigan State. Here's why: Coach Cal heard all year. I mean, that fan base turned on him. They hate him. That dude. I think Kentucky's going to come out early in this season and make a statement and, like, dumb. I mean, Shibwe coming back is just unfair. That guy was so dominant.
We need more of that, though. It makes college basketball so much better when guys are around.
So much better.
Because what sucks now is every time there's a guy that's there for 2 or 3 years, we think he's there for a decade.
Yeah,
like, I know. Hey Clark for Virginia. Feels like he's been there forever. No, he just played as a freshman.
Drew Timmy's insane. Drew Timmy, because Drew Timmy was like the best big man in basketball 2 years ago. And he came back, and he came back again. I didn't even know he had the option to come back again.
We could have used him, man. There were some rumors that he might be transferring, and I thought, boy, if we got Drew Timmy, we'd be back-to-back champs.
God. Yeah, well.
It's in the past now.
We'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Ernest is my guy. I'm in love with him. He's great. So, whatever. It's fun. Basketball's here. That's all I got. You got anything else?
Not that I can think of, no.
All right. Well, thank you as always for listening. Excited for Tuesday night. Excited for next Saturday. Big one against Texas senior night. Get out there. Support these dudes because they've brought us more joy than any football team has in a billion years. So go show them support. And that's all we got. Thank you for listening. Rock chalk. Woo!